We so much appreciate two special individuals that's with us today, and that's Fred Morris and Pastor Steve Fleming from Koinonia. I had to tell him. I was sitting beside him. I said, you see, God told her to come to KWCA. The only thing, God told a whole lot more people to go to Koinonia, I'm sure. So, but we are so glad to have these two. Now, some of you, because we're, you know, they haven't always been with us on a Sunday. But Pastor Steve Fleming, Fred Morris, provide an apostolic eldership over our church. And when we go through difficult times, and we did this past year, we went through a difficult time, and we called them in, and they gave counsel, they gave advice to us as we handled certain situations. And Pastor Steve is my own personal pastor, and he meets with me regularly and asks me questions, and I confess my sins to him as much as I can, and I try to be transparent. And he has spoken into our life and spoken into the church. We appreciate Fred did such a fantastic. Those of you, how much? Let's appreciate Fred. Did a fantastic job at the banquet last night. I think he, well, I won't say he missed his calling, but he had some other areas he could have got into and done very well in. But we appreciate that. And so, and we thank you for your giving this morning. I think that's all I need to say right now. I'm going to invite Pastor Steve to come up, share the word of the Lord with us. I appreciate this man. Appreciate what he means to us, what he means to this congregation. And so would you welcome him as he comes and shares the word of the Lord with us this morning.
And I bring greetings from my wife Beth and the family over at Koinonia. We believe that there's a church in the city, and yes, it just meets in lots of different locations, and that's been our heart as leaders and pastors in the city, and we're excited about that. Touched my heart, the videos. To me, that's why we do what we do. It's why we meet. It's why we gather, and I love it when God turns hard hearts into soft hearts. Yes. I had a young man came to our church, and he said to me, he said, I never cried in my life before I came to this church. He says, I don't know what it is. Every time I come here, I cry. I said, well, that's good, because until you stop crying, you know, God's still working on a hard heart, trying to get us all soft-hearted towards one another. This morning, I want to start with a verse in Numbers chapter 33, it was a delight to be with everyone here celebrating last night. If you couldn't be with us, celebrations are today as well, but it's a celebration for the whole congregation to realize that people touch people. People invite people. People love people. And as we express the love of God in that way, God continues to do great things over a lot of years, and that's a thing to be admired. Not only a church that continues, but a pastor and wife that they continue in their calling. And as they celebrate with you today, that's a reminder for them about why they do what they do. Numbers chapter 33, verse 2, there's a little verse that caught my eye some time ago. It said, Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting points. And that word starting points caught my eye. And I thought it was interesting that God told Moses to write down starting points. And then it goes down a list, and we're not going to read the passage. If you're really interested to see the journey, it tells every time they started and every time they stopped. And we all are on a journey with God. And there are starting points. Now, the good thing is that there are new starting points continually. You know, David cried out that every morning there's fresh mercy. Every night we recount the faithfulness of God. And, you know, change always brings with it new experiences and opportunities in our life journey. And so as we choose to live God's will, God's way, we join together today. And I want to talk to you about remembering the past, celebrating the present, and creating the future. And first of all, remembering the past simply means to reminisce, as we did this morning as we sang those songs together. Those first few songs, I remember them well because I was a worship leader in our home church in Brantford at that time. And that was the hit parade. Some people refer to them as the good old days, but when we think about them, none of us really want to go back there. In fact, styles change, and we look at the old pictures, we all think we're looking better now, even though we had more hair back then. Some of us still have a disgusting amount of hair. It just changed color. But I think today are the best days. I think these are the good old days. I think the days that we're living in. When we think about good old days, though, we think about simple times. We think about exciting pioneer days. We think about passionate times. Sometimes the kids laugh at us. We sing those old songs. But the songs that don't mean anything to you are the songs that touch somebody's heart because they remind us of a moment. They remind us of a time. They remind us of a day. They remind us of a moment where God touched our heart. He changed us, set people free. And some of those simple songs, I pan after the Lord. It comes out, I read Psalm 63, and David's in the wilderness, and his heart's crying out to God. We remember, we call it to mind. We renew our mind, and we think carefully upon what God has done. And the church is a place where destinies touch. We are people that we come in strangers and foreigners. We didn't know each other. We become family, which is what God is doing. He's building families. And as he brings us together, we find our destinies and that our destinies touch. Remembering has the power to bind or to loose. And, the pain of the past can hold us back. The failures, the disappointments, or the successes of the past can encourage us to go forward. On the Quebec license plates they've had for years, we will never forget. And that's a reminder of a failure, of a past defeat that they suffered. And unfortunately, hold that in front of them all the time, and it doesn't help us. On the other hand, on November 11th, we celebrate every year Remembrance Day and say, lest we forget, and we don't want to forget those that lay down their life to give us the freedoms that we enjoy. Those of us who were born in Canada oftentimes take that for granted, but I love to talk to people who are new to our country and their appreciation for the freedom that we have here is a good reminder to all of us that, it didn't just happen. If you're just new to the congregation, this didn't just happen. There are people that have served and loved God and given for years that have created this place. And it's our responsibility to build forward. When we think about going forward in faith, we think of Hebrews 11, chapter 8 to 10, that speaks about Abraham who's called out of a place to go to a place that he didn't know. And that's really what happens to all of us when God starts us on a journey, is we don't know where it will end up. I don't know about you, but there's some things I've been through that if I knew they were coming on the journey, I wouldn't have signed up in the first place. If I'd known what was going to happen, I just wouldn't have said yes in the first place. And I think God knows that. He has a way of blinding our eyes to it and just letting us off in our idealistic zeal. And off we go, and a little bit of rose-colored glasses. But along the way, God continued to prove himself to be faithful, and he looks to us to be a people who will stay committed to the Word of God and to be a people of faith. As we celebrate today, we celebrate the present because remembering gives us a purpose to celebrate. We're able to live with an expectation that God is for us and he's with us because of the things that we remember in the past. We remember that. We're able to have confidence in the faithfulness of God as we recount what God has done, and we remember all the little victories that God has done over the years. And so as a congregation, we celebrate that. We rejoice in that. We're thankful for the faithfulness of God. We're able to endure difficult situations with hope because we realize God has done this before. We've been down this road before. We've faced difficult things before. I have a friend, and he says, we have to raise our level of hard. I like to remind ourselves that what we called hard 5 years ago is normal today. The things we thought we could never do today, we're capable of doing those things. So those things that are hard today are tomorrow's victories. We celebrate today because we are strengthened in faith as we glorify God. That was what kept Abraham strong in his faith in Romans chapter 4. He continued to give glory to God. Sometimes we get caught up in our own weakness. We get caught up in our own inability. And yet God is the one who's been faithful. God is the one who's provided. And as we worship him and as we give glory to him, we're reminded about that. We create a time of celebrating the present here, but it's also an opportunity for us to do a reset on the decisions that we've made in the past. And that's what I love about church, is that it's a place where people get a new start. People get new starts on life when they've done the first part of their journey poorly. If you're going to do part of the journey poorly, it's better to do the first part poorly than the last part. Now, the trick is we never know when the last part starts. So the sooner we start our journey and make it well and reset it with God, the better for all of us. We can make new choices, new decisions as we have a new starting point in life. These new starts, new seasons. We ask ourselves right now as a church, we ask ourselves, how have we grown? Where do we need to grow? What have we done well? Where do we need to improve? Those are questions we need to ask all the time. I ran across a Twitter the other day, and it said, if we are content with what we have done, we'll never be the best that we can be. Caught my eye because that's just desiring to keep growing, keep learning, keep doing better. That was awesome. How can we do it better the next time? How can we reflect the glory of our God in everything that we do and everywhere that we are? How can we step into what God has for us in the future? Well, we got to create the future. And Paul in Philippians chapter 3, famous passage, but I want you to think about it as creating the future for a church. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's true for each one of us individually, but it's true corporately as a church as well. We celebrate what God has done. We remember and we celebrate, but we don't stay in the past. We are thankful for it, but after today, we set it behind us and we press on. And it's always about what's in front of us and what has God chosen to do. We lay behind us both the successes and the failures, individually and corporately, and it's now time to make new memories. Hopefully in your family, you take time to build memories because that's what your kids will remember in the future. We had a song that we had started singing every year at a Christmas Eve service. And 3 years ago, some of the team thought maybe it outlived its usefulness. And I said, I'm fine with that. I'm cool. It's a song I've been leading since day one. And I'm cool. I don't have to sing the song anymore. I said, but you may have a problem with some people in the church. So sure enough, one of the music director went home and said something to his kids about that. And they had a little uprising. And they said, we got to sing that song. And they just found out right then that was creating memories for kids. That's what it's about. It's not about the song. The song's not that great. But the memories are great. And we all need things that we can hold on to, times and memories that we are building. But it's not just the memories of the past from everything up to this point. We're going to create memories. In fact, we're going to remember this day, this weekend, today. And these will build memories of the future. And we're going to build memories, and we're going to talk about people who are not here yet. We're going to tell them about this day. You should have been there on the 40th anniversary. They said, oh, I wish I was. I wish I'd come to Christ earlier. You know, it's a time of new starts, new endings. Things start, things stop. God calls people to churches, and he calls them away to churches. He calls people to himself. God sets us and places us. I was at a conference last year. They asked the question, what are you willing to give your life for? What are you willing to give your life for? And there's lots of things that people give their life for, a lot of things that they live for, strive for, work for. But it's really a question about the why of your life. What turns your crank? What drives you? What are you passionate about? People struggle with what they're going to do with their life more than they do about the why they're going to do what they do. People ask their young people all the time, so what are you going to do after school? What are you going to do? The what doesn't matter unless you know the why. I think the why matters more than the what. The why is about the purpose of God. I realized in that time, the question came, I realized that for me personally, that my life was only about two things. Number one, I'm passionate about loving and serving God. And number two, I'm passionate about building his church. Everything else falls into those. Say, well, don't you take vacation? Oh, yeah, I take vacation. I love vacation. But vacation is a time to renew my strength. It's time to spend time with God, have more time to read, more time to quiet my soul. It has everything to do about getting refreshed so I come back and re-engage in building the church and loving God. So even vacation, you know, some people, they take vacation from God. That's not a great idea. You know, Pastor Duane on Friday reminded us that every day some things that he does. He reads his Bible every day. He prays every day. He exercises for an hour every day. And he reads another book other than the Bible every day to keep on learning and growing. And he didn't tell us his fifth. But he says, I do that every day on vacation, not on vacation, away, I'm home, wherever he is. Because, you know, everything else falls into those areas. Loving God and building his church. Leon Fontaine made this comment one time. He said, most dreams today are all about you and being famous. I can't find any teaching like that from Jesus. On the contrary, he made a comment that Lucifer had a dream. And just to make his point that all dreams are not from God. Sometimes we're real quick to encourage people in their dream. And that's not the issue. I want to know, where does it connect with God's dream? Don't tell me about your dream. Tell me where God's dream is in your dream. If your dream is in God's dream, then I'm going to rejoice and celebrate with you. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 27 to 28, I won't take time to go there this morning, but it talks about that they swapped dreams with each other. Talked about false prophets and people just swapping dreams with each other, and the result was they got distracted from the things of God. Not every dream that I can think about is a God dream. Not everything you can think about or dream about is a God dream. But God has a dream. He wants us to stay on track with our activities before God and with our relationships with Him. What about having a dream for a relationship with God, a friendship with God? Paul said he wanted to know God. Of everything else, he wanted to know God. How about a dream for you and your spouse to be best friends? How about sacrificing success? People that sacrifice their marriages for success. How about sacrificing the success for the marriage and finding out that success will come out of a successful marriage? How about a dream of friendships like we see through the Word of God? And I love that when you said last night, Fred, when you talked about, you paused for a moment, got you for just a moment, you said about a David and a Jonathan. Now, that was powerful. I don't know if you planned on that or it just came out. But I heard it. How about a dream for that? Say, oh, well, it's just for them. So what are you building? You get friends by being friendly. You get it by laying your life down, by being transparent, by being vulnerable. Those are risky stuff, but great relationships don't get formed without risk. What about a dream for a New Testament church that changes people's lives and families and touches the city? How about a dream for other people that aren't sitting here today? You know, God has a dream for a family, and that's what the church is all about, that we respond to his heart, that we embrace God's dream. Church matters, big time. I don't think church is to be endured. I think it's meant to be enjoyed. It's to be a life-giving place that welcomes people, as these testimonies bore witness today. A life-giving place where lives get turned around, where people come in and go, I actually understood that message. People accepted me. They didn't know what I was really like. I love that, Armin. They didn't know what I was really like. Well, God specializes at makeovers, doesn't he? Isn't that what we all are? Let me share my last few moments together with you today. I want to talk to you about three reasons why I think that the church matters. Big deal. Because there are people who want to set the church aside. Even people that are growing up in church are attempting to set it aside. And church isn't perfect because it's made up of imperfect people. I spent all my life in the church. When I grew up in the church, I never dreamt of a day that I would be in leadership here. And some of you have learned to dream that dream. And that's our desire for our church, is that our kids would grow up with a dream to be a part of making church happen for other people and being part of the leadership. And there's no greater delight for a pastor than to see people that you have, as you say, dedicated and married, and watch their families and see them hunger for God and see them change lives and see them reach out to other people. It matters to God. That's the first reason. Is church matters because it matters to God. The church is God's plan and hope for the world, and he doesn't have a plan B. If this doesn't work, he doesn't have another plan. It wasn't, well, if this doesn't work, Jesus on the cross, we'll try something else. No, Jesus on the cross was God's plan. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus gave his life to birth the church, and he said, I will build my church. That's why church matters, because it's God's idea. It's God's family. It's God's church. To God, the church is His family, and His love and life are expressed through His church, which is His body. We're reminded that we need our relationship with God when we come here. Other people are encouraging us and strengthening us, and there's times we come, we don't want to worship. We don't feel like being here. We just barely got ourselves in the door. I like to remind our people that getting up some Sunday morning, like today when it's a little earlier, is an act of worship. Getting here for a 9 o'clock service when you used to be in here at 10 is an act of worship. Special day, special celebration. I can do this today. You know, we gather because we remind each other it's about loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And we're to be a house filled with the atmosphere of hopeful expectation. That's what God wants to build. Where people walk in and they're low on life. And they've given up. And it just sounds like pie in the sky. And it just sounds too good to be true. And yet they walk in and they bump into you. Before they even hear the message, they bump into you. And you start sharing with them. And maybe you tell them a little bit of your story real quick and how good God is. In 30 seconds, you tell them how good God is and how God changed your life. And that can give them the hope to come in, to have their ears open as people worship and as the word of the Lord is delivered. Our worship's got to be Christ-centered, where it sets an atmosphere and expectancy that anything is possible. Now, that's the atmosphere I love to come into in any church, where we just believe that anything can be possible because we're living testimonies of the grace of God. The second reason that church matters is that it matters to my world. To me and to you. It matters to my world. I need the church. As a pastor, I need the church myself. You know, Acts 20, 28 tells us as pastors, take heed to yourself and the flock that the Holy Spirit has made you overseer of. But my family, my friends, my church family, everyone in my world is affected by my life. And I need the church to stay strong myself. People in our church will never know. People in this church will never know how many times you kept, by a phone call, a letter, a comment, kept Ken and Kay in the ministry in this church. 40 years. Because it wasn't easy. It's been a lot of tough times. You know, some of you had opportunities to bail and quit in your own walk with God, but it was a comment, an encouragement, a testimony, a song from somebody that encouraged you in that weak time. You signed back up, said, I'm going to keep serving God because He's my answer. I got a lot of questions in life, but He's my answer. We're told in Hebrews 10 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's so easy just not to bother gathering. Well, they won't miss me. Well, that's not the point. Maybe we'll notice you're not gone. Maybe we'll just think you're on vacation. Maybe we'll just think you had to work today. But the reality is we come because sometimes we need to come ourselves, and other times we come because other people need us to be here. It's a giving and receiving part. See, we all need the church. It's where we connect with our destinies. The church makes a difference in our lives. It challenges us to live a bigger life for God and not ourselves. And sometimes, you know, I get discouraged and I feel sorry for myself. Ever happened to you? You feel a little sorry for yourself and you just feel a little down, a little discouraged. And yet I can arrive with a church family and through worship, man, I am just reminded of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And I'm signed up again and I'm ready to go if I can just get in the place God set for me. See, church challenges all of us to live bigger lives. It's a place where we can connect with people that have common convictions and faith and standards and love. The church is where we learn to walk out the great commandment. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give to you. That you what? Love one another. We never know if we have love if we live by ourselves. We never know if we have love without relationships. We don't know if we really have love and God's really doing work with us until we get together and we start rubbing on each other a little bit. And we work on each other. And sometimes God puts people in our world that kind of annoy us a little bit. Can we put it that way? Annoy us. We all got funny little quirks. And the better we get to know someone, the more we understand their quirks, and we can let it bug us if we want. I tell some people that just meet me, I said, you know, you don't know me good enough not to like me. You have to really get to know me before I could really annoy you. See, that's what happens in the church. But We practice with each other, walking out the love of God. And the more, I'm going back to that little testimony of Armin, because this, tough guy, and now he's got a problem with animals, and like he's soft-hearted, and I love that. I love when God takes a hard heart and turns it into a heart of flesh. Doesn't it sound like the Bible somewhere? So that's what it looks like in real people. And there's many more that are here this morning that have experienced that in your life. We connect. We have real fellowship. Fellowship's more than just socializing. It involves the sharing of our spiritual lives and the sharing of Christ with one another. An encouragement. Third reason church matters is it matters to the world around us. The church is all about God's love and transforming power, but everybody doesn't know that. I love to see that at work. It doesn't happen other places. Short-term change, excited for a moment, happiness, perhaps, if things turn out the way we think. But in the church, we actually see lives transformed by the power of God. We look around us, and nations will not change, and leaders will not change, and people will not change apart from the transforming power of Jesus Christ. That happens in churches all the time. Even if all of our churches in this city had multiple services, it would be a fraction of the people could actually even get in. See, church can't just happen here, although it happening here matters a whole lot. We've got to be the church as we leave this place, and be the church at work, and be the church on your block, and be the church at your college or your university. Be the block where you meet people. See, church is always about the next one. Once we're in the family of God, it's not about us anymore. It's not about us anymore. It's about the next one. It's about those who have never heard what we've heard. Those who have never heard what we've heard. You can ask anybody about some famous person you know, and you're going to meet somebody who never heard of them before, let alone Jesus. So everybody's heard about Jesus. No, a lot of people never heard about Jesus. A lot of people never heard about a loving God who cares about them, wants a relationship with them. The local church is really a matter of life and death. Life and death. Why do you say that? It's simply this. We're eternal beings, and everybody's going to live for eternity. Either an eternity with God or an eternity separated from God. That matters a lot. But your loved ones, your family members, that guy that you don't know at work that he'd ever get saved. You know, one day one of our leaders said to me, Pastor, he said, this lady's here, this girl's here. He told me from his world 20 years ago, I never thought I'd ever see her in a church. I wonder, who's in your world? Who's around you? You'd say, I just could never see them getting saved. Why not? Paul was one of those candidates. His name was Saul. He was the last one the church ever expected to get saved, and when he did, wrote half our history of the New Testament church. God had a plan for his life. Who could that be in the world around you? See, I don't believe in playing church because church is really serious. I think it's serious to God, and it's serious to us, and we have to be constantly reminded to live out not only the Great Commandment, but the Great Commission, and that's to the world. To go into all the world. Because I think if you would understand what God's purpose is for you as a church, that you would really realize that your future, and about creating the future God has for you, is entering into the greatest adventure that you could ever dream of. I think that's what is ahead of us as a church of Jesus Christ. I think God put in every person the desire to do something bigger than them, greater than they could ever possibly do, but we want to be safe at the same time. That's what the church is about. We're in this together. And we're going to rejoice together and weep together. But we're going to do it together. As we nurture a passion for God's house, God wants us to be a people who realize that the church matters to God, and it matters to me and my personal walk with God, and it matters to the world around us. It matters to the world around you. matters to people who are not yet here, a part of this fellowship, people who have not yet heard what you've heard, experienced what you've experienced. My prayer is that God would do great things through you, the church. It's not the building. Buildings change. The buildings have changed a number of times over 40 years. But it's the people. It's the people that are organic and living and vibrant and the life change that's taking place that makes the church like no other place on the planet. A place where people's lives can be transformed. Taken from one kingdom, placed in another. Taken out of darkness, placed into light. We become life-giving agents of the family of God. I love the church because God loves the church. And Jesus gave his life to birth the church. So we joke with each other about local churches, but we've been praying for one another. We support one another. We encourage one another. We got a group of pastors in the city we're blessed that are really rooting for each other because we realize there's a lot that needs to be done in the city. Because of my particular ties with Ken and Kate, I would like to declare, just as a close, benediction in Numbers chapter 6 is familiar, but the power of the benediction is not in the words itself, but it's the impartation of the word. And the priest was instructed to impart that, because we talk about anointing, but things are not anointed, people are anointed, right? Things aren't blessed, people are blessed. So if something's going to be blessed, it has to be blessed through you, because you own it. Your house can be blessed, but the blessing is got to be resting on you to bless your house. Because it's all about the people. And so the priests were to speak this over the corporate house, speak it over the household of faith worldwide, all the churches, over this house, and over every household represented, individual or family member that's represented. So if you allow me to do that. Father, we thank you this day that we get to be a part of your church and what you're doing in the world today. We rejoice together. Father, we declare right now, Lord, let your blessing be upon your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the favor of God go before you like a shield of provision and protection. And may the glory of the Lord be your rear guard. May the life of God that is within you be that which is deposited and released to others in your world. And may they too know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.